Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp, giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn about treatment of anxiety through the belief in Allah's decree. And the title of the class is It is Easy for Allah. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about Allah's will, that is to say, the third aspect of the belief in Allah's decree. Actually, we are having our time to learn about Allah's will, as this is the only effective will in life. It is the unlimited, profound, and all-comprehensive will. We are learning important lessons about Allah's will so that we always have the full trust that Allah is able to do everything and that His provision is without limits. And also that there is no impossible with Allah. This is a very important fact which every one of us must believe in. There is no impossible with Allah's will. That is to say, Allah's will can do everything accordingly. Allah's will is the main source of hope for all the Muslims. Let us recite now from Surah number 10, verse number 107. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يردك بخير فلا راد لفضله يصيب به من يشاء من عباده وهو الغفور الرحيم. And if Allah touches you with hurt, there is none who can remove it but He. And if He intends any good for you, there is none who can rebel His favor, which He causes it to reach whoever of His slaves He wills. And He is the all-forgiving, the most merciful. From this verse of the Quran, we are learning that Allah is the most powerful. Allah is able to bring benefit and to protect the harm. The only one who can bring the benefit is Allah, and the only one who can protect you from the harm is only Allah. Accordingly, you must believe in His will. Today, inshallah, we will learn the story of a woman who proved her full trust in Allah's will while facing the most difficult situation for a mother and a wife. Actually, from her story, we will, inshallah, learn very important lessons for our worldly life that can help us to keep our spirit high even in the most difficult situation, and also to have the attitude of being persistent regarding any difficulty in our life. Let us start the story from the start. Actually, Prophet Ibrahim's wife, her name was Sarah, she was sterile. She has been given an Egyptian woman, her name was Hajar, as a helper. Sarah offered her husband Ibrahim, her servant Hajar, in marriage so that she can give him a baby. Actually, Hajar gave birth to Ismail when Prophet Ibrahim was 88 years old. And Prophet Ibrahim was so happy to have this baby, and he was so grateful to Allah the Almighty to give him a baby, or to give him a gift actually, which is his son Ismail at that old age. But it happened that one day Prophet Ibrahim woke up and he asked his wife Hajar to get her son Ismail and prepare for a long journey. In a few days, Ibrahim started out with his wife Hajar and their son Ismail. The child was still nursing and not yet weaned. Ibrahim walked through cultivated land, desert and mountains until he reached the desert of Mecca. And he came to an uncultivated valley having no fruits, no trees, no food and no water. The valley had no sign of life. After Ibrahim had helped his wife and child to this mount, he left them with a small amount of food and water, which was hardly enough for 2 days. He turned around and walked away. His wife hurried after him, asking, "Where are you going, Ibrahim, leaving us in this barren valley?" Ibrahim didn't answer her, but continued walking. She repeated what she had said, but he remained silent. Finally, she understood that he was not acting on his own initiative. She realized that Allah had commanded him to do this. So she asked him, "Did Allah command you to do so?" Ibrahim replied, "Yes." Then his great wife said, "Indeed, we are not going to be lost, since Allah, who has commanded you, is with us. Ibrahim at that moment invoked Allah the Almighty. Now we will recite the invocation of Prophet Ibrahim from Surah number 14, verse number 37 to 38. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا إني أسكنت ذريتي بواد غير ذي ذرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون ربنا إنك تعلم ما نخفي وما نعلن وما يخفى على الله من شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Our Lord, I have settled some of my descendants in an uncultivated valley near your sacred house. Our Lord, so that they may establish prayer, so make hearts among the people inclined toward them and provide for them from the fruits that they have might be grateful. Our Lord, indeed you know what we conceal and what we declare, and nothing is hidden from Allah on the earth or in the heaven.
Actually, Prophet Ibrahim, he left after calling on Allah with this invocation, and Hagar went on suckling her child and drinking water for some days until the pocket was empty. Then she and her baby suffered thirst. She saw her child crying from thirst and she couldn't help him. So she left him there and went towards the valley to look for help. But she couldn't find anyone. Hagar traveled between the mountains of As-Safa and Al-Marwa, sometimes running, especially in the low ground, while she couldn't see her son, and sometimes walking 7 times. But still she couldn't find anyone. When she was doing it for the 7th time and going up the mountain Marwa, she heard a voice. She said to herself, "Be quiet," and listened carefully. She heard a voice again and said, "O man, you have made your voice heard to me. Have you got something to help us?" Suddenly, she returned to her baby and she was so surprised. She saw water emerging beneath the foot of her baby. Thus, Hajar began to drink the water and suckle her baby. The angel said to her, "Don't fear this. This is Allah's house, which will be built by this child and his father, and Allah will not destroy the people of his house." Hagar was a true example of a woman who had great faith in Allah. Although she was left with her baby Ismail alone in the desert without any food and water, she was still able to remain steadfast. Hajar had no doubt that since she was being left in the desert for the sake of Allah, that Allah would indeed take care and provide for her and her baby son Ismail. And it is from Hajar's sacrifice of running back and forth looking for water for her child that Muslims do As-Safa and Al-Marwa, running As-Sa'i, running between As-Safa and Al-Marwa when they perform the Umrah and the Hajj. And actually Allah sent a tribe of people to live with Hajar and her son, and she was the one taking care of the water, which is called Zamzam water. Now, inshallah, we will learn in detail the lessons for every one of us from this story, so that we will always be sure that Allah's will can do everything. There is no impossible with Allah. Allah's will is unlimited, and Allah's will, inshallah, can do everything. What is the first lesson? The first lesson is that when Hajar faced this trial, which is actually a very tough trial for a mother to be left with her precious baby in the desert, when she faced that trial, she didn't show that she is very sad, she is very upset with her husband, she is very lonely, and actually, instead, she asked Prophet Ibrahim a very intelligent and a very sincere question. She asked him, Did Allah command you to do so? So when Prophet Ibrahim said yes, so she answered her famous statement, "Indeed, we are not going to be lost. Indeed, we are not going to be lost." Actually, every Muslim and Muslima must memorize this statement and always remember this statement and repeat it during the time of hardship. Indeed, we are not going to be lost. Hajar sent to Allah the Almighty the message that she is sure that He will take care of her and her baby, and she is sure that in spite of the fact that she is in a barren valley where there is no life, there is no tree, there is no water, there is no food, but she will be saved because this is Allah, the one who can do everything. So, and actually Allah fulfilled, Allah the Almighty showed her His mercy and His power that He sent the angel Jibril, and the well of Zamzam was actually there under the foot of Ismail, and Allah made for her an outlet from this very tough trial. Accordingly, the first lesson which we learn from this story is that when you face a trial, you have to follow three steps so that you will be saved from that trial, and inshallah Allah will make for you an outlet, and actually a great outlet from that trial. Number one, acceptance. And this is the most important step and the first step, as it is the way for Allah's pleasure. If you want Allah to be pleased with you during the time of trial, number one, say to Allah, say to yourself that, "Oh Allah, I am accepting all your decree." Actually, as this is the way for Allah's pleasure, also this is the way for feeling mental relaxation and peace. Because already I am accepting. This is the reality. I am not escaping the reality. Accordingly, you will feel that a lot of burden is removed from your shoulder regarding the acceptance. When you accept any trial, be sure that most of the trial now is out, is away. Because you send to your spirit the message that this is Allah's decree, there is no escape, okay. Let us face the reality, let us have mental peace, and let us have mental relaxation. So this is step number one, is acceptance. The second step when you face a very tough trial is that you need to remember the unlimited will of Allah, which He can make for you an outlet from all hardships and trials. Always try to remember Hajar's word, "Indeed, we are not going to be lost. Indeed, we are not going to be lost." That is to say, full trust in Allah's will and full hope in Allah's mercy. You are in great need of the hope during the trial. Because if you leave yourself to the feeling of despair and sadness, you will be totally lost. And you will not be able to do any action which you are in great need of. So try quickly to move your spirit to the hope in Allah's mercy and in Allah's will. How? Keep on repeating, "Indeed, we are not going to be lost. Indeed, we are not going to be lost." And the third step, inshallah, to have an outlet from every trial is calling on Allah. calling on Allah, believing in His power. That is to say, to do dua to Allah all the time. All the time, escape the feeling of despair and sadness and move your spirit to the hope through calling on Allah with full sincerity and full reassurance that Allah's will is unlimited. Allah's will can do everything. There is no impossible with Allah's will. Inshallah, I will be saved. Allah can do everything. Allah is with me. So actually, through these three steps, number one, acceptance. Number two, full trust in Allah's will. Number three, dua. Through these three steps, inshallah, you can escape the negative effects of any trial. And you will win the reward of Allah and His mercy. And inshallah, the trial will end very smoothly. Actually, sisters, every one of us is in great need to learn these three steps and to try these three steps. Acceptance. Bismillah, number one, acceptance. Number two, remembrance of Allah's will, which is unlimited, and to keep on repeating, indeed, we are not going to be lost. And number three, calling on Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh, from the depths of your heart, day and night. I am sure you will take care of me. I am sure you will make for me an outlet. I am sure I am not alone. I am sure you can do everything. I am sure your mercy will touch me and my life very soon. Because while you are calling on Allah, you are sending reassurance messages to your spirit, so that inshallah you can be strong, and inshallah that trial will not have negative effects on your spirit and on your life. The problem with the trials is that always for the people whom they are not close to Allah, there are very negative effects of any trial. People move actually to sadness and despair and gradually to addiction of escape. They want to escape the reality. So this is actually the negative effects of the trial, which is always actually a very high price for having a trial. Allah the Almighty is not putting us in trial so that we will become addict of medications or addict of sadness or addict of despair. No, Allah the Almighty is putting us in trial so that inshallah we will learn these three steps. We will learn the acceptance of Allah's decree. We will learn the hope in Allah's will. And we will learn calling on Allah day and night with full reassurance. If you follow these three steps, you will have a lot of reward from the trial. So the trial, instead of being actually a difficult test, it will be actually the time or a gift for a reward from Allah the Almighty. And also you will become a more strong believer because you have the experience that I can face any trial and I can be strong regarding handling any trial. And I, in all praise to Allah, I received the reward of Allah from that trial, and also I inshallah will receive the reward of calling on Allah, doing dua to Allah day and night. So every one of us sisters is in great need of learning this lesson from the story of Hajar, whom actually she faced that very difficult trial, but out of her belief in Allah's will and her trust in Allah's will, Allah saved her and Allah gave her the gift of the water of Zamzam. The second lesson from the story of Hajar is that Allah rewarded Hajar for her trust and hope, that actually when Hajar was left with her baby in the desert, she was just looking for some water. But Allah the Almighty, instead of giving her water to feed the baby, Allah provided her with the well of Zamzam, the best water on the earth. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, Zamzam is for what it was drank for. So if you drink the water of Zamzam with the intention for the cure, inshallah, Allah will cure you. If you drink it with the intention for the good health, Allah inshallah will give you good health. So Allah the Almighty actually rewarded Zamzam with the well of Zamzam, and all the Muslims whom they are drinking from this water, and Allah will reward Hajar for that. So all the time have the hope that inshallah Allah will reward you a great reward beyond the imagination if you show to Allah that you are accepting His decree, you are patient with His decree, and you have the full hope and trust in His unlimited will to save you. Also Allah the Almighty, regarding the running between As-Safa and Al-Marwa, this became part of the performance of Hajj and Umrah for all the Muslims. So all the Muslims whom they are doing Hajj and Umrah, regarding the running between As-Safa and Al-Marwa or As-Sa'i, they are following the performance of Hajar. Accordingly, she will be rewarded for all the Muslims whom they did or they will do the Hajj until the Day of Judgment. So we must be all the time sure, sister, that the reward of Allah is so great. We don't know, none of us know how great is the reward of Allah for those whom they accept Allah's decree, whom they have the hope in Allah's will, whom they have the good patience regarding Allah's decree. So all the time while you are in the trial, remember Hajar. Remember how Hajar was so sure that Allah will save her, and also remember the reward of Allah for Hajar, so that inshallah this will give you encouragement and this will give you strength during any trial until Allah inshallah will make for you an outlet. The third lesson which we learn today from that story is that Prophet Ibrahim obeyed the command of Allah regarding leaving his family alone in the desert, in spite of the fact that the baby Ismail was a very precious baby for whom Prophet Ibrahim was calling on Allah years and years to give him a baby. And when Allah gave him the baby at the age of 88, Allah commanded him to leave that baby in a barren valley. But Prophet Ibrahim, out of his very strong faith, he left the baby with the mother in the valley, obeying the commands of Allah, in spite of the fact that I am sure that as a father it was very difficult for him, but he always put Allah as the priority. To obey the commands of Allah is the priority. So we will learn today, inshallah, how to have this strong faith, like Prophet Ibrahim during the trials, and actually regarding obeying the commands of Allah, even if sometimes they look very difficult for us, but we must obey the commands of Allah and be sure that Allah will make for us an outlet from any trial so long we obeyed His commands. Prophet Ibrahim obeyed the command of Allah and he left Ismail and his mother in the barren valley, and then Allah rewarded Hajar with the well of Zamzam, and actually she was living there in the best shape, she and her son. So now we will learn about the face of Prophet Ibrahim so that we can get the benefit regarding strengthening our belief and obedience to Allah. We will recite now from Surah number 17, verse number 120 and 121. It is Surah number 16, number 120 and 121. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa wa lam yaku minal mushrikeen shakiran li'an'umihi ijtabahu wa hadahu ila siratin mustaqim wa atainahu fid dunya hasana wa innahu fil akhirati lamina salihin. 121 and 2.
120 through 122. Indeed, Abraham was a comprehensive leader, devoutly obedient to Allah, inclining toward truth, and he was none of those who associate others with Allah. He was grateful for his favors. Allah chose him and guided him to a straight path. And we gave him good in this world, and indeed in the hereafter he will be among the righteous.
So actually, sisters, from these verses of the Quran, we will try to know more about Prophet Ibrahim so that we can learn about his strong faith, inshallah. In this verse of the Quran, Allah is describing Prophet Ibrahim as number one, the perfect follower of Allah's guidance. Number two, as an obedient servant to Allah. And number three, as a thankful servant to Allah. So he is the perfect follower of Allah's guidance, an obedient servant, and a servant who always show thanks to Allah the Almighty. Actually, Allah said in Arabic, Ibrahim was an ummah. What is the meaning of the Arabic word ummah? The meaning of Arabic word ummah is one of either two meanings. Number one, ummah means a nation. That is to say, Ibrahim was equal to a whole nation in his faith and true obedience to Allah. Or ummah means Ibrahim was a leader. That is to say, a leader who leads a whole nation to the right path, so he will receive his reward and a reward like the whole nation. So on either cases, Prophet Ibrahim will receive the reward of a nation because of his strong faith in Allah. Devoutly obedient to Allah means seeking to be pure in his devotion. And true in faith means that he always sought the truth and followed it, since he never associated partners with Allah. Also, Prophet Ibrahim showed his gratitude by word and by deed. And so Allah chose Ibrahim and guided him to the straight path. So the question is, how Prophet Ibrahim was guided to the straight path and how he had that strong faith? In order to answer the question, we will recite from Surah number 6, from verse 74 to 79, so that inshallah we will have a very important lesson regarding the reality that the one who is looking to obey Allah, he will try all the means and all the ways so that he can reach his goal. We will recite now from Surah number 6, Surah Al-An'am, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, from verse 74 to verse 79, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ آذَرَ أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَةً إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ فلما رأى القمر بازغا قال هذا ربي فلما أفل قال لئن لم يهدني ربي لأكونن من القوم الضالين فلما رأى الشمس بازغة قال هذا ربي هذا أكبر فلما أفلت قال يا قوم إني بريء مما تشركون إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا وما أنا من المشركين وحاجه قومه قال أتحاجوني في الله وقد هدان ولا أخاف ما تشركون به إلا أن يشاء ربي شيئا وسع ربي كل شيء علما أفلا تتذكرون وكيف أخاف ما أشركتم ولا تخافون أنكم أشركتم بالله ما لم ينزل به عليكم سلطانا فأي الفريقين أحق بالأمن إن كنتم تعلمون الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون وتلك حجتنا آتيناها إبراهيم على قومه نرفع درجات من نشاء إن ربك حكيم عليم. We will recite from 74 to 83.
74 to 83. Okay. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abraham said to his father, Azar, do you take idols as deities? Indeed, I see you and your people to be in manifest error. And thus did we show Abraham the realm of the heavens and the earth, and he should be among the certain in faith. So when the night covered him with darkness, he saw a star. He said, this is my Lord. But when it set, he said, I like not those that set or disappear. And when he saw the moon rising, he said, this is my Lord. But when it set, he said, unless my Lord guides me, I will surely be among the people gone astray. And when he saw the sun rising, he said, this is my Lord, this is greater. But when it set, he said, O my people, indeed I am free from what you associate with Allah. And indeed I have turned my face and myself toward He who created the heavens and the earth, inclining toward truth, and I am not of those who associate others with Allah. And his people argued with him. He said, do you agree with me concerning Allah while He has guided me? And I fear not what you associate with him, and will not be harmed, unless my Lord should will something. My Lord encompasses all things in knowledge. Then will you not remember? And how should I fear what you associate, while you do not fear what you have associated with Allah, that for which he has not sent down to you of any authority? So which of the two parties has more right to security, if you should know? They who believe and do not mix their belief with injustice, those will have security, and they are rightly guided. And that was our conclusive argument with which we gave Abraham against his people. We raise by degrees whom we will. Indeed, your Lord is wise and knowing.
So actually, sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, let us learn now about the meaning of these verses of the Quran and the journey of Prophet Ibrahim until he knows about his Lord, inshallah. Actually, to Ibrahim, the deity to be worshipped, to whom people turn for help in all situations, and who has created all living things, can't be an idol made of stone or wood, as these idols can't create, listen, respond, or provide sustenance. So they are not worth worshipping. Accordingly, Ibrahim, one of the best-natured of all people, forbearing, tolerant, and fine-mannered, clarified these above realities to his father, who was an idol worshipper, clarifying to him that worshipping idols means going astray. Ibrahim rejected falsehood and started to research for his Lord. Allah showed him some aspects of the kingdom of the heavens and earth. Allah let him into some of the secrets of the universe so that he could reflect on some of the great signs of the truth. Thus, Ibrahim would be able to make the correct link between his pure nature and the Lord of the true faith and guidance, as this would then help him to move from the stage of rejecting falsehood to the stage of knowing Allah, the true God. Let us now learn about these stages in the journey of Prophet Ibrahim until he found Allah, the only God. In stage one, as the people whom they were living with Prophet Ibrahim, they were worshipping the stars and the planets. So Prophet Ibrahim at first hoped to find his Lord in the stars. So one night he saw an elevated star having a shining light. So he said, this is my Lord. But when the star sets, Ibrahim was so upset, as his nature has no love for anything that set. Second, again, on a particular night, Ibrahim saw the elevated moon with a light that spreads all over the place. But the moon sets. So Ibrahim at this moment realizes that he needs help from his true Lord. He feels that he will remain astray unless his Lord helped him with his guidance and showed him the way. The third experience of Ibrahim with the stars was with the sun, the largest, the brightest, and the hottest of visible stars. But the sun is like the moon. It rises and sets every day. At this moment, everything becomes clear. That is to say, a contact was made between the pure nature and Allah, between his pure nature and Allah. Ibrahim realized that his Lord is not a bright planet, a rising moon, or a shining sun. He is not one to be seen with the human eye or felt with the other physical senses. He is the one recognized by the human heart, nature, and conscience. He is the one seen everywhere in the universe, the creator of everything. At this moment, or at this point, Ibrahim decided to turn with complete devotion to Allah. He has complete peace of mind, as he feels that Allah has taken him to guide him to the straight path. His people came to him with their arguments about his declared belief in Allah's oneness, and they warned him against what their idols might inflict on him. Ibrahim, who could feel Allah within himself and in the universe around him, he confronted them with reassurance. He told them that Allah himself has helped him, opened his mind, and Allah showed him the right guidance. So how can they argue with him about something he feels deep down with himself? He declared that he fears nothing whatsoever from their deities, since he knows that nothing befall him except by Allah's will and with Allah's knowledge. Since then, Ibrahim was calling his people to worship none but Allah. This is the true belief of Prophet Ibrahim, whose belief is sincere and to the depth of his spirit. So actually, sister, this is a real example of the true belief in Allah, a sincere belief that deepens in the heart of the believer and motivates him to obey the commands of Allah under all circumstances. It is also a sincere belief in Allah's mercy. That is to say, the belief that Allah's mercy and will can make an outlet from all hardships for those who trust Allah and obey his commands. I pray to Allah that the story of Prophet Ibrahim and Hajar, his wife, will inspire every believer and motivate all of us to have the full hope in Allah and to have an optimistic attitude all the time. Inshallah, next week we will continue to learn about Allah's will. And now, inshallah, we will answer a question which actually is a very important question, and we will learn its answer, so that inshallah we will keep on learning about other aspects of Islam. The question is, I am a young woman. I used to live a happy life, although un-Islam, except I used to pray and fast and a reasonable hijab. Then since I got married, I started to become religious, alhamdulillah. But this is when my problems started. I always think to myself that I was not that bad in my life before marriage, as compared to other people who are much more unreligious, and I have not done many sins. So why is all this happening to me, and what is the solution? Okay, so the answer is that, praise be to Allah, and blessings and peace be upon the Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, who said, Allah has shared out your attitudes among you, just as he has shared out your provisions. Allah gives worldly provision to those whom he loves and to those whom he doesn't love, but he gives religion only to those whom he loves. So whoever is given religion, Allah loves him. Based on this hadith, you should praise Allah a great deal for this blessing which he has bestowed upon you by helping you to adhere to his religion. Note that trials are the nature of this worldly life, as Allah mentioned in Surah number 21, verse number 35. Let us recite this verse of the Quran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نفس ذائقة الموت ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة وإلينا ترجعون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Every soul will taste death, and we test you with evil and with good as trial, and to us you will be returned.
Actually, in the face of every trial, the Muslim's attitude should be that of one who is certain that Allah doesn't decree for him anything but that which is good for his worldly and spiritual affairs. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, How wonderful is the affair of a believer, for his affairs are all good. And this applies to no one but the believer. If something good happens to him, he is thankful for it, and that is good for him. If something bad happens to him, he bears it with patience, and that is good for him. Everything that you have mentioned in your question comes under the heading of being tested by means of things that no person would want. What you must do is to bear it with patience and realize that all of that comes for Allah for the purpose of good which He wants for you. Adherence to the commands of Allah is not the cause of the trials that have befallen you, because one of the things stated by Sharia is that the righteousness is one of the causes of happiness, and that the opposite is the cause of misery, as Allah said in Surah number 16, verse number 97. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Whoever does righteousness, whether male or female, while he is a believer, we shall surely cause him to live a good life. And we will surely give them their reward in the hereafter, according to the best of what they used to do.
So actually, this is what Allah is teaching us, is that when you have the belief in Allah's oneness and you do the good deeds, there is a promise from Allah the Almighty that He will make you to live a good worldly life, and inshallah you will have the paradise as the final destination. We will recite again from Surah number 20, Surah Taha, verse number 123 and 124, inshallah, to know about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That fact that the trials are not to cause troubles for us in our life, but actually this is the life of a test for everyone. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فمن اتبع هداي فلا يضل ولا يشقى ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى قال ربي لما حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى From verse number 123 to 126
Whoever follows my guidance will neither go astray in this world nor suffer in the hereafter and whoever turns away from my remembrance indeed he will have a depressed difficult life, and we will gather, raise him on the day of resurrection blind. He will say, My Lord, why have you raised me blind while I was once seeing? Allah will say, Thus did our signs come to you, and you forgot and disregarded them, and thus will you this day be forgotten.
Yes. So actually, sisters, from these verses of the Quran, it is clear that we must believe in the following. Faith brings true happiness in both this world and in the hereafter. And inshallah, over the next coming two classes, we will prove this fact with the verses of the Quran and the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, faith brings true happiness in both this world and in the hereafter. And turning away from the remembrance of Allah causes misery and hardship. True happiness is in the heart and is not cancelled out by whatever trials may befall the believer. Indeed, the trials of this world happened to the prophets too. As it says in the hadith, the people who are most tried are the prophet, then those who are closest to them, and then those who are next closest. According to another version, a man will be tested according to the level of his religious commitment. And the trials will keep affecting a slave of Allah until he is left walking on the face of the earth with no burden of sin whatsoever. As stated above in the first hadith, ease and hardship in this life are not related to a person's religious commitment. What we advise you to do is to strive to make yourself be patient and keep away from corrupt thoughts and from thinking negative about Allah. Don't let your adherence to Islam weaken because of these thoughts. One of the most important means that will help you to achieve this is making dua to Allah, calling on Allah. Indeed, difficulties may be a means of a person making more dua to Allah, which will open the door to much good for you. Choose the dua from the Quran and Sunnah and keep on calling Allah, inshaAllah, and inshaAllah, be certain that you will receive a response for your dua. Don't be in too much a hurry, for Allah is more merciful towards His slave than a mother to her child. Strive to protect yourself with remembrance of Allah, and inshaAllah, Allah will make for you an outlet. So in summary, for that sister whom she is under the impression that when she became closer to Allah, she started to face more trouble, this is a wrong attitude and a wrong way of thinking. Actually, when you became more closer to Allah, this means that inshallah, Allah is preparing for you a better life. But trials in this life is a way to remove our sins. Allah wants you to be a true righteous believer. So Allah is testing you with this trial so that you get rid of your sins and you are more closer to Allah. But on the long term, inshallah, Allah will reward you with a lot of provision, and Allah will make your life more happier when you are more closer to Him, because you must believe that the only way to be happy in this life and in the hereafter is through having strong faith and very close to Allah. And let us make that dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.